This morning, we're actually in week three of our latest, actually, I'm sorry, that's week four, right? Yeah, we're in week four of our latest series titled Transformed, a series where we're walking through seven key areas of our lives that we believe God wants to transform. 3 weeks ago, that's where I got the three, I think, in my head. 3 weeks ago, we started as we talked about being transformed in our spiritual health. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about being transformed in our physical health. Last week, we talked about being transformed in our mental health. And this morning, we're going to talk about being transformed in our emotional health. Now, the big question is, what is our emotional health, right? You're sitting there going, what does that even mean, right? What is our emotional health? Well, it's basically, let me just sum it up in a nutshell here. It's basically how we deal with how we feel, okay? That's our emotional health, how we deal with how we feel. Last week, we talked about the importance of managing our minds, okay? If you were here last week, if you remember that last week, some of you looked at me like, I don't remember anything you say from week to week, you know? But that's all right. I don't even remember what I say from week to week. But last week, we did talk about managing our minds, managing our thoughts. Well, this week, I want to talk about the importance of managing our emotions. I want to look and see what God says about how we deal with how we feel. And I want to start this morning with an interesting scripture for this, but I want to start with Mark chapter 12. Now, this is a scripture that should be familiar to all of us here, because it's actually where the first part of our mission statement comes from. It's Mark 12, verses 29 through 30. This is what it says. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Now, you can hear the emotion in these words of Jesus, right? He's saying, I don't want you just to kind of love me, right? I don't just want your, you know, your lip service. He's saying, I want you to love me passionately. With what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all that you are. God wants a deep emotional connection and relationship with each of us. He doesn't want us just to know who He is. There's a lot of people that know who He is, right? Many people have a relationship with God just based on knowledge. Yeah, you know, the Bible says this. We know about Him. We can quote scriptures. But a lot of people are lacking that emotional connection, kind of what I talked about earlier in worship, that heart connection to God. God desires a deep emotional relationship that goes beyond just head knowledge. What are we doing with our emotions? What is it that we're giving our emotions to? Now, before we dive too deep this morning into all the managing of emotions, I want to give you first three basic facts that we need to understand about emotions that I think will help us a little bit before we dive into managing emotions. Here's the first one. Even God has emotions. Even God, and it's important for us to understand that. Many people don't realize we serve a God that actually has feelings. You see, I think a lot of people view God as, you know, this unemotional figure that isn't affected by anything, right? But the reality is, God is an emotional God. He feels joy. He feels grief, right? He feels pain. He feels hatred towards sin, right? We see that in the scriptures. His emotions are affected by situations in the same way that ours are. Now, the only difference with God is He has complete control over His emotions, right? We don't always have complete control over our emotions. But the But the truth is, God does have emotions. And the only reason we have emotions is because we're made in His image, right? If God didn't have emotions, then we wouldn't have emotions. And so I think it's important for us to realize God has emotions. The second thing that I think we need to understand about emotions is that my emotions are a gift from God. Right? Our emotions are a gift from God. Now, they may not always seem that way, right? As you get a little emotional and going whatever. But the truth is, even the negative emotions we experience can play a role in our lives. Emotions can be a wonderful thing. They're the one thing, do you realize, that makes us individuals? Think about that. Without our emotions, we wouldn't be able to love, right? And then, and you think of some of the emotions, we wouldn't be able to experience things like kindness, happiness, right? Or even things like, you won't think about, like creativity, loyalty to people, right? All these things, they come from our emotions. As a matter of fact, all the good qualities that we experience in life, all the good things that you enjoy, and those feelings, those are from our emotions. One of the most amazing verses in the Bible in Genesis 1:26 is where God says, "Let us make man in our image," right? And obviously when he says man there, he means all mankind, men and women. The reason we have emotions is because God has emotions, and He gave them to us as a gift, right? But the thing we have to remember is that He gave us these emotions before the fall, okay? Think about that. He gave us those emotions before the fall, and now because of the fall, we have to be aware of our emotions, right? The third thing that we need to understand about emotions is this. There are two extremes that we need to avoid, okay? Two extremes we need to avoid. I'm going to give you both of them. One is something called emotionalism. And the other is something called stoicism. Let me explain what these extremes are, okay? Now, emotionalism, many of us, we probably know what this is. But emotionalism is when all that matters is how we feel, okay? It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It doesn't matter what's good or what's bad. The only thing that matters is how it feels, right? If it feels good, then it must be right. If it feels good, that's what we do. Now, this extreme of emotionalism means everything we do in life is based off our feelings and our emotions, which means that our feelings and emotions control our life. They dominate everything we do. That's why we don't want this extreme of emotionalism. Now, the opposite of that is what is known as stoicism. Now, stoicism is where our feelings aren't important at all, okay? The only thing that matters is your intellect and your will, right? Stoics say that emotions are not part of life. Get rid of them. Don't let your emotions affect you. Our feelings don't really matter. It's what you do. It doesn't matter how you feel about it, right? You just do this, you do that. You don't allow feelings to affect you. We need to avoid. These are two very opposite positions, right? Two very extreme positions when it comes to emotions, and we need to avoid these extremes. The reality is we want to be somewhere in the middle, right? We want to find that happy medium because emotions are good. We said that already. God gave us our emotions. He gave them to us for a reason. He wants us to connect with Him emotionally. We talked about that earlier in worship. As a matter of fact, God challenges us about this in the Scripture. Matthew 15:8 says this, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, the Greek word used here for heart in this section of Scripture is the word cardia. And it's defined as the center of all physical and spiritual life, also referring to the senses, affections, emotions, desires, appetites, passions. So here, what we're seeing, God doesn't just want us to honor Him with our lips. He wants us to connect with Him emotionally. He wants us to connect on an emotional level. But on the flip side, our lives can't just be about emotion when it comes to God, right? You know, sometimes we're just seeking a feeling. We come and we want that feeling. We want the goosebumps and the good stuff that makes us feel good. And we're seeking a feeling instead of what? Instead of seeking Jesus. We just simply seek a feeling. We're looking for an experience that makes us feel good instead of seeking to connect with the God of the universe. The reality is we aren't always going to experience good, goosebumpy feelings when we serve the Lord, right? We're not always going to experience those good feelings. These are two major extremes, and we need to find a middle ground here. That's why it's important that we learn to manage our emotions. Last week I gave you three reasons why we need to manage our thoughts. And so this week I want to share with you three reasons why we need to manage our emotions. The first is this: because our feelings are often unreliable. And we don't like to believe that, but the reality is oftentimes our feelings and emotions can lead us down a wrong path. They can lead us in the wrong direction. You know, how many times have we thought, I know this is the right thing to do, I feel it in my gut, right? And then we do it, and what happens? It blows up in our face. There's a big difference between feeling the leading of the Holy Spirit and feeling the leading of emotions in our lives, all right? I'm pretty sure all of us have gone down that road of emotions at times, right? The reality is we can't depend on everything we feel in life. Last week I said we don't have to believe everything we think. And the same thing is, we don't have to believe every emotion that we experience. We don't have to accept everything that we feel. Because just because something feels good doesn't mean it's right. There's a lot of things the world will say, hey, try this, it feels good, right? Yeah, that does feel good, right? But it doesn't mean that it's right. And just because something is scary, well, oh man, no, that looks, that's too, your emotion is fear. And just because something's scary doesn't mean it's bad. Try planning a church. If I went based on just feelings, we wouldn't be here today, okay? Scary isn't always bad. This is why we really need to learn to manage our emotions. Proverbs 14:12 says it this way. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but what? In the end, it leads to death. There is a way that seems, or you could throw in the word there, feels right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We have to realize that oftentimes our emotions can be unreliable. It's why it's so important that we manage our emotions. The second reason we need to manage our emotions is this: because our emotions have a tendency to control us. They will control us. They'll control our thoughts. They'll control everything about us. And so the reality is, if we don't control our emotions, then our emotions control us. We'll find ourselves being manipulated by our moods, right? You ever have that? Probably not if you're married. You don't ever experience that with your spouse, the mood swings and things and stuff like that. I don't. My wife, I'm sure, does, because my mood changes. But we find ourselves being manipulated by our moods. If we're always guided by our feelings rather than what's right, the fact is others will take advantage of us. This happens all the time in the world of consumerism. Okay, think about this for a moment. I realize that as a matter of fact, salesmen and advertisers are trained on how to stir up our emotions. Okay? Why? Because they know if they can get us hooked emotionally, if they can stir up our emotions, there's a good chance they're going to be able to sell us their product, right? They work on our emotions. I had this happen at Safeway a little while. I fell into this stupid trap of this little thing that it was a blender thing, and I'm like, I watched it like, that would make life so much easier. Thankfully, I asked ahead of time, now, can I return this if my wife doesn't like it, you know? And so I was able to return it. But I got it home and was like, this doesn't work the way they said it would work there, right? It worked on my emotion. I thought, oh, my wife will love this. I'll be good and she'll think I'm awesome. And she just looked at me like, what the heck did you get that for? So thankfully I took it back. I didn't lose my money on this thing. But we can't allow our emotions to get the best of us in those things. And here's the thing, if it works for a salesman or an advertiser, I'll bet you it probably works for Satan as well, right? To stir up our emotions, to get us to do things that we don't want to do, to manipulate us and do things we shouldn't be doing. Listen to what 1 Peter 5:8 says about managing our emotions. It says this, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be self-controlled. Our emotions, right? If we don't control our emotions, the enemy is going to use our emotions to control us. We need to manage our emotions because feelings are unreliable. We need to manage our emotions because our emotions have a tendency to control us. And the third reason that we have to manage our emotions is so that Jesus can be Lord of our lives. You see, Jesus can't be Lord of our lives if our emotions are in control, if our emotions are Lord of our life. And the reality is, if I make all my decisions based on how I feel, then what have I done? I've made feelings my Lord. I've made emotions my God, right? And if I make feelings my Lord, then Jesus can't be my Lord. As followers of Christ, we want Jesus to be our Lord. We have to be able to control our emotions. We have to be aware of our emotions and we have to give them to the Lord instead of letting them control us and become our Lord. Listen to what 1 Peter 2 says. From now on, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. Controlled by God's will, not by our emotions. You know, what are human desires? Our human desires, those are our emotions. It's our affections. It's the way we feel. And he's saying here, the rest of our lives, now that we're believers, now that we're following Jesus, our lives need to be controlled by God's will, not by our emotions. You see, God desires for us to manage our emotions. And so the big question then is, how do we do this? How do we manage our emotions? We've talked about the importance of managing our emotions, but it's like, okay, that's great. How do I really do this? Well, I want to share with you three things that will help us manage our emotions. I'm sure there are many other answers out here, but I want to share with you three things that I think will help us manage our emotions. And the first one is this. First and foremost, we need to identify our emotions. We have to figure out what are the emotions that are affecting us. You know, you can't fix a problem if you don't know what the problem is. What are the emotions that are keeping us from being emotionally healthy? We talk about being transformed in our emotional health. What are the ones? What are those emotions that are keeping us from being emotionally healthy? Now, the reality is sometimes we don't know what those emotions are that are affecting us. Oftentimes, we're confused by those emotions that we're feeling, right? Anyone in here, you got it all together, you're not confused at all with your emotions, right? Oftentimes, we're confused by the emotions we're feeling. We all like to think we have it, our emotions, you know, handled. But if we're honest, many of us, we don't. Now I'm going to be completely honest with you. I am not an expert on emotional health. Before we even started this series, I wouldn't have been able to tell you any of these things that I'm going to share with you this morning, okay? I had to do some studying. I had to look at, man, emotional health. What does that even mean, you know? I had to study. I had to look at some of the things as we're walking through this series with Rick Warren. I had to look at some of the things Rick Warren talked about in his small group and study, man, what does this mean, emotions? What is emotional healthy? What does it all look like? And so I'm not an expert on identifying the emotions that affect us, but I've learned that if we want to identify them, I think it starts by asking ourselves a couple questions. And the first question is this: we have to ask ourselves, what are we really feeling? Okay? And that really is important. And this is one of those questions where you actually have to dig beyond the surface, okay? Because a lot of times we just look at, oh yeah, that's what's controlling my emotion. But we have to dig beyond the surface, because what we think we're feeling is often just a symptom of what we're actually feeling or dealing with, okay? For example, we may say we're feeling down or feeling discouraged or feeling depressed, right? But those are just symptoms of deeper feelings. We need to go beyond the surface and ask, what's making us feel depressed? If we go a little deeper, we might find that we're depressed because, you know, maybe someone hurt our feelings, whether that was at work or a family member, or maybe an expectation that we had for something, work or family or this, fell short. And we need to identify, we have to go and find what's the root of this problem, of this emotion. Because maybe that blow up that you just had, you know, with your spouse or a friend or a coworker, had nothing to do with the way they responded to you, right? But instead it was something that happened earlier, you know? Maybe as you blow up with your spouse, had nothing to do with your spouse, it had something that maybe your coworker said as you left the office, right? Or something deeper that goes beyond that. And all we've done is we've transferred those feelings to the closest person to us. And a lot of times that becomes our family that deals with those emotions. This kind of example happens all the time. We let our emotions affect how we respond or we deal with people. That's why it's important that we ask ourselves the question, what am I really feeling? Because then we can actually apologize to those people that it really had nothing to do with, right? Honey, I'm sorry. I got mad because I had this jerk that cut me off on the way home and I transferred that to you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at the kids. I need to deal with these emotions in my life, right? We have to get to that root and begin to deal with it. Then the second question we have to ask ourselves, besides what are we really feeling, is what's triggering these feelings, right? What's triggering these feelings? The reality is we all have certain emotions that trigger certain responses, and we all have certain triggers that cause certain emotions. If we can identify the triggers, then we can identify the problem, right? And these triggers can be all different things. Certain people, right, may be our triggers. Maybe they've hurt us in some way or another. And whenever we see them, it stirs up emotions. And we may not even realize that, right? There are all sorts of things that can be triggers. Sights, right? Sounds. Smells can even be. Tastes. All these can be triggers that can cause us to feel emotions, right? We don't realize, man, you know, when I got in that fight with so-and-so, this song was playing. And every time I hear that song, I start to get angry or upset, right? Or in this circumstance or situation, I was eating a Big Mac at McDonald's. You know, the Big Mac is not the... Oh, wait, yeah, it is the evil. But But there's so many things, sight, sound, smells, all these can be triggers that cause us to feel emotions, both good and bad, because we can also, you know, I've had times where I walk into a place and I'm like, oh my gosh, it takes me back to my childhood, and it's something good and something amazing, right? There are things that trigger our emotions, and it's important for us to know and to understand what are those triggers. When something begins to happen, we have to go, what is this, where is this coming from? We have to get to the root. What is it that triggers these emotions in my life? Because the fact is, again, we can't manage what we don't know. We can't manage our emotions if we don't know what's causing these emotions. So we have to identify our emotions, identify the triggers to those emotions. And then we do the second thing that we need to do to help us manage our emotions, which is we need to challenge our emotions. We have to challenge what we're feeling. You see, we can't just automatically accept what we're feeling. I told you earlier, because our feelings are what? They're unreliable. We have to challenge our emotions and determine, are my emotions true or false? Right? Are things really as bad as they feel in this moment? Because if we're truly honest with ourselves, the answer is probably not. And on the flip side, are things really as good and wonderful as they feel in this moment? And sometimes the answer might be that they're not. This is why we have to challenge our emotions. Now, King David was good at this. If you read his Psalms, in many of the Psalms, he asks God to challenge his emotions. And I think if we're going to ask anyone to challenge our emotions, God is probably the first place we need to start. I mean, after all, God understands us better than we understand ourselves, right? He created us. God knows what we're feeling even when we don't know what we're feeling, right? There's times we're like, I don't know why I feel this way. God knows what we're feeling, and He knows what triggered those feelings and those emotions. In Psalm 26:2, David gives us a good example of how to challenge our emotions. He actually just presents himself before the Lord. Listen to what he says. Psalm 26:2, he says, put me on trial. Now you're like, yeah, put me on trial. Like, yeah, that's what I want. Put me on trial, Lord. Cross-examine me. Test my motives and affections. Now what are our affections? That's our emotions there. He says, test my motives, test my feelings, test my emotions. Are my feelings true? Am I allowing myself to be manipulated by my emotions? You see, first and foremost, I believe we need to seek the Lord and ask Him to challenge our emotions. Lord, show me, is what I'm feeling right? Am I missing something here? Examine us. We can't be afraid to ask God to challenge our emotions. But I also think sometimes we need to even take it a step farther, because sometimes we don't always hear what the Lord's trying to say to us, right? I think sometimes we need to have someone close to us challenge our emotions, right? You know, whether that's a spouse, a friend, a family member, someone that knows us and that will be honest with us. And I think, as we're processing this, one of the first questions that we need to ask ourselves is, do we have people like that in our lives? Do we have people close to us that will be honest with us? That will tell us if they see that our emotions are off or that we're feeling something. You know, we don't want yes men. Oh yeah, you're right. Oh, I can't believe they did that. Oh my goodness. We want people who want to challenge our emotions. They're going to be honest with us. And we have to ask ourselves, have we allowed people in our lives that privilege? Because we should. Have we given people the right to speak into our lives with truth and honesty? Some of us don't like that. No, I don't want to hear the bad things. I'm good, right? Have we given people privilege in our life to speak truth, to challenge us on things where maybe our emotions are off a little bit? Because we all need people like this in our lives. People we can be honest with. People who can be honest with us, because it's people like that that will help challenge those emotions in our lives. Now, how do we really challenge these emotions? Well, it's allowing God or those close to us to help us answer a few questions. Because a lot of times, that's what, you know, you come before the Lord and you hear these questions. What? I don't want to answer those questions. Right? We have to ask ourselves a few questions. And some of the questions that we have to ask ourselves is this. Are these feelings we've identified valid or are they true? Let me use a story from the Bible to kind of help illustrate what I'm saying here. Some of you may be familiar with Elijah. Okay? He's an amazing Old Testament prophet. I love Elijah. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is a story that involves Elijah. It's a showdown that Elijah has with a bunch of Baal worshippers. Okay? Now, some of you may be familiar with this story. I'll give you just a brief background if you're not. So you've got Elijah, and he's representing God. It's like this great battle royale between gods is about to go on here. Okay? So you've got Elijah, who serves the God of this universe. And then you have these Baal worshippers and their God. And they set up this little battle royale, right? They set up these altars. And they said, okay, let's do this, Elijah says. You pray and you have your God bring fire down upon your altar. And I'll pray and I'll have my God bring fire upon this altar. Okay, so the Baal worships, they're praying, they're trying everything, and Elijah's even kind of mocking them. Oh, are your gods asleep? You know, all these things. I love it. It's an awesome story. Well, needless to say, their altar never lights on fire, right? So then it's Elijah's turn, and now Elijah, he kind of takes it even a step farther of mockery. He's like, go get pitchers of water. You know, so they go get these things of water, and they douse water all over this altar, right? Now, if you know anything about lighting fires, you don't pour water all over it before you light it, right? It doesn't make sense. But that's what he does. And then he calls down upon the Lord, or he calls upon the Lord, and God brings fire down so much that it says it burnt up the altar, it burnt up the rocks around the altar, it burnt up the trench of water, it just, boom. Baal worshippers knew who was God in that moment, right? This amazing time, God is awesome, right? And, well, here's the thing. Right after that, right after this amazing miracle, this amazing story, Elijah finds himself in a cave, discouraged and depressed. Now here's the question, why is he discouraged and depressed? Well, in Elijah's mind, he thinks he's got it figured out. In his mind, it's because he feels like, right, or in other words, his emotions have caused him to believe that he's the only one in the entire nation of Israel still serving God. Right? He feels like, I'm the only one. But as he cries out to God, why me? God challenges him. God doesn't really challenge him. God just basically puts him in his place, right? He just says, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You think you are the only one left. Look at all these other people who are serving God. What is your problem? Well, the problem was that he wasn't managing his emotions. The problem was his feelings weren't true. He felt like, oh, all these things about these people. But the real reason he was discouraged and depressed, if you know the story, it's because he was tired. He was worn out. He needed some sleep. His feelings weren't true. He was tired and weak, and that caused him to feel these emotions that weren't true, these emotions that weren't valid. So it's important that we ask ourselves this question. Are our emotions true? Are they valid? We have to challenge those emotions. And the other question we have to ask ourselves is this. Are my emotions helping me or hurting me? Are they helping me or hurting me? Sometimes this question can be the simplest way of changing an emotion. It's asking ourselves if what I'm feeling right now is going to help me accomplish what I really want to accomplish in the Lord. Or is it going to hinder me from accomplishing what I want to accomplish? Let me just give you a little example of what I'm trying to say here. Let's say we're frustrated with someone, whether that be our spouse, whether that be our kids, whether that be someone we work with, and we want to help them change whatever they're doing. Okay? Well, let me ask you this. Does nagging work? Does nagging work? Has it ever worked on anybody? anywhere? Has it ever worked for anybody in this world to nag someone? Does it work on us? When somebody comes and tells us all the things that we're doing wrong, all the ways that we need to change, does that make us want to change? Oh, thanks, man, that's good. I'm ready to change, right? Does that make us want to change? It doesn't for me, and most of the time what happens is we get defensive, right? We put up this guard. Most of the time people are going to get defensive when you come in that way. So now, not only are we frustrated because they're not doing things the right way, now they're frustrated and we haven't really accomplished what we were hoping to accomplish in the first place. You guys tracking with me here? In reality, we've probably made things worse. We've caused emotions, untrue emotions on both sides now. Again, this is why we need to challenge our emotions. And simple questions like this challenge our emotions, and they'll help us manage the emotions we experience. We got to identify the emotions. We've got to challenge the emotions. And then finally, to finish up this morning, we need to deal with our emotions. When we discover unwanted emotions that can ultimately bring harm to us or to others, we have to deal with them. And we do that one of two ways. We either change them or we channel them. And let me explain these two to you. The reality is there are some emotions that are destructive, that are hurtful to us or to others. And we have to learn how to change, or at least work on changing these emotions. And I really believe this isn't something that we can do on our own, okay? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to change some of these things in our life. This is one of those things that falls under the Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ. Through who? Through Christ, who strengthens me, who gives me the strength that I need. We have to realize these emotions are destructive. They aren't from the Lord, and we have to seek God for the strength to begin to change these emotions. Every day we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to help us change these emotions in our life, the way we respond when we know it's not right, when we know it's destructive to us or destructive to others. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us take control of them so that they don't control us. Zechariah 4:6 says this, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We can't do it on our own. We don't just change our emotions by willpower. We change our emotions by His power, through His strength. We need to change our emotions at times, those emotions that are destructive and that affect others. Or in some cases, it might not necessarily be that we change the emotion, but we actually channel the emotion. We use it for good. Let me just give you an example. Anger. Anger, it can be a pretty strong emotion. And the reality is, anger can actually be a valid emotion, right? It can be a true emotion. God actually gets angry, okay? But the challenge for us when it comes to anger is what we do with that anger. God knows how to control, and His is a righteous anger. And it can be righteous for us if we can learn how to control it. How do we deal with it? Well, Ephesians 4:26 tells us, don't sin by letting anger control you, right? So anger, sometimes there's righteous anger for things that we should be angry over. The key is we can't let it control us. We have to channel it. We have to redirect it and use it for good. And I'll give you an example on this. Let's say we're victims, and I'm just going to use a broad range here. We're victims of injustice. There's all different ways we could be victims out there of injustice in this world, and we see it all over the place. We have every right to be angry for whatever it is that someone did to us, right? They shouldn't have done that. Or they shouldn't have done that to this person, or to my child, or to whoever, whatever it may be. We have every right to be angry for whatever it was that they did. But now we have a choice. We can let that anger boil up inside of us and let it lead to all different types of paths, right? Whether it be retaliation, whether it be, you know, depression, whether it be isolation. We can let it lead to those kind of things, or we can channel those emotions to become a champion for justice, right? We can help others keep from experiencing those same injustices. We can fight for those things in a good and a godly way, right? And this can play out all different ways. Let me give you one more example of channeling our emotions. Maybe you have some deep emotional scars because you grew up in a single-parent home. You didn't have a mom or a dad there all the time to help you, and even though you had a mom or a dad there, they were so busy they couldn't help you. And you grew up with some of these emotional scars. And it stirs up at times in your life just painful emotions. Now here's the thing, again, you have a choice. You can let those emotions continue to burn at you and continue to work at you to where it leads to places of isolation, places of loneliness, places of self-pity. Or you can channel those emotions and decide to do whatever you can to make sure that other kids don't have to experience the same things that you did. You can volunteer to be a big brother. You can volunteer to be a big sister. You can be a mentor to those. Or you can come alongside other single parents and help them so that they can be the mom or dad that they would love to be to their kids, but they just don't have the time because they have to work and do all these things. You see, we all have the ability to either change or to channel our emotions, again, with the help of the Holy Spirit, because it's not easy when you're angry and frustrated about some of these things and these hurts and pains. It's not easy to channel them in the way that would be a positive thing, but we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to be emotionally healthy people, that's how it starts. It's changing those things in our life. It's channeling those things in our life with the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can identify those emotions that we're struggling with. With the help of the Lord and others around us, we can challenge those emotions. Are they valid? Are they true? And if they aren't, then we either change them or we channel them for His good. That's His desire for our lives. We're walking through this series because God wants to transform us. And I didn't start this series by saying, oh, this is an easy thing. When we're done, we'll be transformed. Right? It's a daily process. Working through our emotions, working through especially these things like hurt and pain that we've gone through our lives, being able to give them to the Lord and help, and the Lord help us, the Holy Spirit help us to begin to channel and turn them for positive things. That's huge. That's God's desire for our life, to take our emotions and to use them for His glory, to honor Him in all that we do. That's true, spiritual transformation, but it's also emotional transformation in our life. That's God's desire for each and every one of us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And Lord, this word, it was challenging for me. Lord, I'm not an expert on emotional health, but as I continue to study this week and dive into Your word and dive into thoughts of other pastors and leaders, Lord, You showed some great steps and some great things of how we can move in the direction of emotional health, Lord, realizing that, Lord, we all have feelings. We all are going to experience things in our life. And the key is learning, how do we deal with those feelings and emotions, Lord? How do we give them to You? How do we let You be in control of our emotions instead of allowing our emotions to control us, Lord? This is a daily process, a daily thing that we have to continue to do, Lord. Continue to seek the Holy Spirit. Continue to seek You. Continue to read Your word and allow Your word to speak to us and challenge us. Continue to come here with our ears open, Lord, to allow You to continue to speak into our lives, Lord. But Lord, we want to be transformed in every aspect and in every way, Lord. Help us to continue to come as we are to seek You, and to give You the permission, Lord, to transform us, to give You the permission to help us change and become who You've called us to be, Lord. We thank You for this word. May it penetrate our hearts and challenge each of us where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.